So if there was a topic that strikes fear into marketers, it's the topic that we're going to cover here in this lunchtime webinar. Woke washing and cancel culture. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff as well that's tied into this. You may well have come across the terms greenwashing and greenhushing. We're going to go to all these topics. These are probably the most sensitive things that marketers need to be navigating right here, right now. We're in tense times. I think that's probably the best way of describing it. And so what we're going to cover as we go through this are hopefully some ways that you can begin to navigate these, I guess you could call them quite fearful topics within the whole marketing remit. If these things happen to you, you do need strategies and tactics to be able to get yourself out of them. If they are coming into the conversations that you have within your marketing teams or within your businesses, then this is going to be something that is hopefully going to build your confidence that it isn't something to shy away from, but it is something you need to be absolutely clear about and to have a position and a confidence, I guess, kind of going forward that you're doing the right thing in the right places. Now, from a kind of marketing textbook perspective, what we're talking about here is a sociocultural landscape. What does that mean? Well, basically, what we're meaning is it's this blend of scenario and context that we're actually in that is taking account of how society and various cultures and various communities are feeling about the world right now. Okay, so this is kind of the harsh reality. We're not talking here from a theoretical perspective of, oh, well, here we've got some lovely products and services. We have this lovely shiny marketplace that we can go and everybody's happy. That clearly, as we all know, is not the reality. So what we're having here to do is to sort of, basically dance in a way that is kind of treading very carefully in this sociocultural landscape. And we're going to go to all the various places where you might see some of these challenges coming through. And the first place that we're going to start here is with this word woke. Okay, so this is defined as having or marked by an active awareness of systemic injustices and prejudices, especially those involving the treatment of ethnic, racial, or gender minorities. Okay, so there are members of our communities who are feeling very sensitive over either how they're being treated and or how they're being perceived. So as marketers, our role is to really respect and understand, and it is really relatively simple. This is not rocket science, relatively understand how each of our stakeholder groups, so that's customers, members, sort of broader publics, if you like, those individuals, those groups, those communities around our organization and our business, how they're going to respond to the kinds of communications that we do. And what we need to do as marketers is make sure that at all times, in all ways, through all channels, through every media, through every single piece of content or communication that we publish or work with, that we are doing it in such a way that not necessarily we won't be challenged, but that we've been very mindful and conscious of the audience that we're playing to. And so there's a real sensitivity in here because our marketplaces are becoming ever more sensitive. And the way that we need to really think about this, in my view, is that we need to be thinking in a very just way. And there's a wonderful quote by Martin Luther King, which is, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And what we mean by this is that from a marketing perspective, as long as we are being authentic, transparent, honest, and true, working to the values that we hold dear to us, that are really at the core of who we are, then we should and we can be communicating in that same kind of way, openly and honestly, without upsetting those sensitivities that some of our stakeholders may well be both experiencing or perceiving in their worlds. So there's a kind of an action that we can take. I'm still talking kind of quite theoretically here, so we'll get on to some examples in a minute. But the actionable step that you can take as a marketer is to really wake up to these sensitivities. That's really what we're talking about here. So waking up by conducting some analyses. So a macro one, what is the big picture? What is going on in the wider world? What is also going on a micro level? So within our sector, within our communities, with the people who touch on our organizations and our businesses, and also an internal analysis. So what are the values that we hold true as an organization, as a business, or as a team? What is our culture? What's our style of communication and interaction? And then by doing those analyses, really identify some of the trends that we can really be respectful for. So not align with, and this is something that then plays out in woke washing, which is we're not looking to align necessarily with those trends. We're looking to be very mindful of those trends. So what is it from a societal perspective, from a cultural perspective, that can be impacting on our stakeholders right now? So this isn't a response, this is an understanding, a deep intrinsic understanding of the people that we engage with. What are they feeling? What are they sensing? What are they feeling either fearful for? What are they feeling sensitive about? And getting a deep understanding. I often find myself using the phrase professional intimacy. You may well have heard me use this one before, but it really encapsulates everything that we're talking about here. If we can be developing professionally intimate relationships, then we will not be accused of woke washing, because what we're doing is we're being really sensitive and mindful in all of our communications and all of our thinking, if you like, when we communicate. So what is woke washing then? Well, basically, this is the practice of a business superficially adopting progressive themes or stances to gain favor with customers without committing to real change. And so when you do these kinds of analyses, when you understand what those sensitivities in certain communities, in certain parts of society, or your customer base, when you understand those sensitivities, and then what you do is you think, hey, now because we understand some of those things that are going on there, well, let's see if we can adjust our brand so we look like we're part of that community, or we're down with the kids, or we're really kind of, edgy like that particular part of our sort of audience is. That's kind of what we need to be. So we're kind of just, we'll play it out, and we'll rebrand, and we'll kind of reposition ourselves, or we'll use language and terminology so it appears that we're kind of like them. And that's basically, it's faking it, is really what we're talking about here. And this is basically where we will then fall foul of what we should be doing. And it is a sensitive thing that you will be uncovering when you go and do these analyses. You will be uncovering sensitivities that can sometimes be quite awkward to address, quite awkward to deal with. But the trick here is to really start to think about, okay, if we want to go there, if we want to address some of these things, because we have a service or we have a product that can answer to some of those sensitivities and make the world a better place for that audience, then if we can provide the evidence that backs that up, and this is going to be a key theme of this conversation here, is that if we can provide the evidence to back it up, so it's not just saying it, then if we can evidence it, and not just us saying this is evidence, but third party, credible, justified, tangible evidence that says, actually, this is solving this problem, or actually, we are part of that community and we are building solutions around these sensitivities, then we will not be challenged and be appearing as though we're woke washing. That is really, really key. It is about this tangible evidence of commitment, not just saying that you're going to do it, or that, yes, we support that, and then there's nothing tangible in the background to evidence that. So you can't just use words, you have to use actions. And so there is this kind of, you've probably heard of CSR, corporate social responsibility. And these are often kind of themes, or their mantras, or their topics that you hear in particularly larger organizations who have a CSR policy. But when you look deeper into it, that policy or those themes or those things that are being talked about, they're just really hot air. There's nothing really behind them. And then there's a danger because as a marketer, if you then start acting upon those things that are hot air, you stand a chance then of being really shot down because you don't have that tangible association with the reality that your audience is feeling. So an actionable step here will be to really review if you do have some CSR policies or you do have CSR initiatives, you are doing corporate social responsibility activities, then you need to ensure that they are substantive and they're not just performative. In other words, they're not just saying you're going to do something or they're not just woolly or light, but they're actually, even though they might be very small, but they're actually evidence-based. And so you're actually basically sort of backing up the words that you're saying. That is absolutely key. Now, one of the reasons why you'll do this, and here's another phrase that you need to, as a marketer, really understand here. There is this phrase, cancel culture. Basically, what happens is if you get this stuff wrong, if you're challenged, it might just be down to a single post that you do in social media that falls foul of all this best practice and this stuff that we're talking about, then you can be cancelled. Cancelling is a form of boycotting, if you like, where a person or company is thrust out of social or professional circles online or in social media or in the real world for perceived or actual missteps. So you don't actually have to get it wrong, but if you're being perceived as getting it wrong, then you can be cancelled. You hear this kind of in different forms and in different ways. I mean, being aired in social media, being ignored, being boycotted, being kind of, just sort of dropped out of, groups that you might have been on, or just not being taken seriously where you were in a position of authority before. This is a form of cancel, okay? And you are being cancelled. So it can be complete, it can be absolute, but it can also be really quite subtle. So you need, as a marketer here now, with these sensitivities that we're talking about, to be always in the game, always with your finger on the pulse, always looking for the sentiment in the reactions that you're seeing with the communications that you put out there. So if you get feedback, positive, neutral, negative, just being aware of the trend of that feedback, because cancel culture you could define as being a form of self-policed social accountability. And there's some things to think about there. Self-policed social accountability. In other words, you're not actually necessarily doing something really, really bad or wrong. You might just be misguided. You might just be doing it because you haven't paid attention to something, or you might just be inadvertently being inappropriate in your communication, but that really doesn't matter. Cancelling can come in a direct form, so you are actually told that you have been ignored, or it can come very subtly over time where there's this just this kind of drip feed of withdrawal of your presence or your brand positioning or the way your brand is perceived over time. So an actionable step, well, I would say even before creating a crisis management plan or any, big ticket social media backlash you might get because you put something out and you were cancelled and it's really happening and you can see it because it's there, it's hit you between the eyes and you know it. But also then some sentiment analysis that you do on an ongoing basis. And this is more sensing on an ongoing basis, the kind of, I guess, feedback that you're feeling. Some of this is subjective, by the way. A lot of this you can't really measure tangibly, but you will get a sense intuitively if you really have your finger on the pulse that things are slipping or things are moving or they're not quite as they used to be. And if it raises that, something's going on here, but I can't quite understand why, then it's time to do that deeper analysis that we were just talking about. So it can come in, multiple different ways, but the trick is you must respond. Okay, Meghan Markle did this a few sort of months back, gave this really interesting quote, and obviously she's been in the limelight and cancelled, and a lot of different pros and cons in terms of her branding right now. But she keeps coming back and bouncing back with her personal brand in really strong ways. But her kind of quote, which is very relevant to this particular, whether you agree or like her or not, or whatever, is irrelevant here. The quote that she said, which is, "The only wrong thing to say is to say nothing." You have to have, you really must have a response. As a marketer, to put your head in the sand and think it's going to go away, we got it wrong, we did something that wasn't right, we can just hide, or we can just wait for the kind of, the storm to pass, that is not the way to handle this. So strategically, you need to be thinking about ways in advance that you might, should it happen at any point, because it's increasingly happening. I don't want to put fear into your mind here, but it is increasingly happening in all industries, both subtly but also significantly. You need to have ways to effectively manage and respond. And this can be a transparent kind of approach. This can be, increasing the accountability that you have. It can definitely be getting into more of a dialogue with your stakeholders, not seeing yourself in this kind of marketing ivory tower, or from a PR perspective, kind of hiding away, but actually then creating a response plan and guidelines for all staff, because this might happen within a customer-facing department like marketing, or it could be customer service, or if you've got a PR team, it could be there. But it can also happen elsewhere in the organization. This can happen from a sales team perspective. It can happen within senior management. So having a response plan for if this happens significantly or subtly, we have a way of responding. That is the key here. And then detailed steps for addressing it and actually combating any sort of particular issues that you might face. That is what is going to be really, really important here. That is going to be absolutely key. So be thinking about that as you go forward into this, because it's a really important thing, because it will impact on your brand. So consider how this might impact on your brand reputation and your customer trust. If you have to sell this conversation in to get it into your marketing meetings, or to get it onto your management team's table to actually have it as an agenda item, then think about, as a very, very simple little model, which is what we call the trust equation, which can show you how this can impact on your brand reputation and the level of trust that the broader customer or stakeholder community will have with you. The trust equation is really quite simple here. It's your credibility plus your reliability plus the intimacy that we were talking about, divided by your self-orientation. That's an interesting one. So it's basically saying it's everything the world perceives of you in terms of your brand, divided by what's in it for you. That's trust. Because if your organization is prioritizing what's in it for them over the way that the market perceives you, then you've got the balance wrong. The equation of trust will be heavily weighted in your favor if you can ensure that all of your marketing communications focus on building credibility, evidencing your reliability. Remember that word evidence again. Creating professionally intimate relationships with all stakeholders, and putting those things, that combination of those things, over your self-interest. That is the way to build a trustworthy brand. So that's a lovely, simple equation to start to tell the story. And so you can then, using that equation, start to audit your brand's recent campaigns for evidence of where you have been authentic, where you've been reliable, where you've demonstrated this level of intimacy. And if you've aligned those with the social values, i.e., the things that your stakeholders and your marketplaces and the broader macro environment are valuing or feeling sensitive about right now, but you're providing solutions to those social challenges, then this is going to be a great way of positioning your brand. And of course, competitively, this is a great commercial opportunity. So not only for your organization is it the right thing to do, but it can also be a very profitable thing to do. And often people think, well, this is kind of, I shouldn't really be talking about profit in this same sort of language, but it is. To build a sustainable business, a sustainable organization, this is part of the mix. Sustainability comes from being socially relevant, being reliable, being trustworthy, having a brand that is the go-to brand in a sector. That is sustainability. Yes, having a great eco and carbon footprint that is really going to, move you forward and move the planet forward is also really important, but it's part of the equation. So the more you can be thinking of marketing in this way, the better. And this is really about authenticity. I've used this word kind of transparency and being honest and true, but it's about being authentic and authentically engaging with these kinds of social issues and challenges. You can have as part of your marketing plan, as part of your marketing strategy, genuine connections with social causes that maybe align with your brand's core values, mission, and purpose. This is the way to position your brand appropriately, so you're not going to be challenged. If your brand stands for a certain level of authenticity, or there's a certain kind of mission or cause that you have, and it's part and parcel of how you position yourself. If you then go and align with a social issue or a challenge that's completely at odds with it, or there's an irrelevance between the connection, then the world is going to look at you and say, hold on a minute. Are you just doing that because you can make a few more sales? Or are you doing that because you're trying to get in with that audience? And then they'll smell a rat. So authenticity is the alignment of, as Lance Secretan says, is the alignment of head, mouth, heart, and feet, thinking, saying, feeling, and doing the same thing consistently. This is what it's all about. So an actionable step here would be, okay, if we want to get this thing right, we need to check that is if we're aligning ourselves, our business, our brands, and our causes with things that are relevant, then we must be aligning with social causes that are kind of, inherent within our brand's values. And we need to then plan a long-term engagement strategy with those causes. So if we are all about reducing plastic in our actual social and environmental sort of initiatives that we're doing here, if we're trying to reduce carbon footprint and reduce plastic within our business, then to do something that is a social cause that may be about, supporting, the reduction of plastic in the oceans, there's a direct correlation between those two things. But if we then go and try and associate with something that's completely and utterly left field, we can then be criticized and then we could be potentially cancelled. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff then that cuts in, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. So there's a really fine line here that we are trying to navigate. And I don't think it's ever, in my experience, I don't think it's ever been more sensitive than it is today. Now, again, I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm not trying to make you think, well, in that case, I'm going to go back into my little shell and hide away and I'm not going to do any more marketing, because just in case it hits on a little sensitive point in the world and then suddenly we're cancelled. That's not what we're saying. But what we're trying to say here is that we need to be seen to be consistent and appropriate in our strategies, in our communications, and our brand's involvement in particularly socially sensitive issues. We can still go there. We can still be part of conversations. We can still challenge. We can still be a little bit edgy. But as long as we're seen as genuine and not opportunistic, that's the key here. And so what we'll need to do is really understand from our stakeholders and do some really genuine stakeholder analysis and some genuine stakeholder engagement. So we could, as an actionable step, develop and publish maybe a transparency report on our brand's social initiatives and their impact. So we can actually say, okay, we're not just going to tell you we're going to do this stuff. We're actually going to evidence where we're making progress. And by the way, guys, we're not perfect. Our brand is it's on a journey. It's having some ups and downs in our journey, but we're doing this with good intent. Please come with us, collaborate, and be with us on this journey. There is no way in the world, and I'll bet a lot of money on this one. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I'd bet a lot of money that will be well received. The challenges that we get are when we try to do this in isolation, or we try and do it where we're covering stuff up, or we're not actually being as open and honest as we could be. So transparency with the evidence and not just seeking opportunism because there's a commercial reason for it is the way to go forward. That's what's really important. And it, of course, will help us to build our brand's integrity. And this is all about building in the long term and maintaining the integrity of everything that we do, both in terms of our messaging, but also of our actions. Comes back again to this point about we need to be behaving in this way as well as talking in this way. There's a model you can use if you want to kind of get deep into this, because again, the next question will be, well, okay, prove it. You're saying you're good. You've done this nice report that says, oh, I'm ever so transparent and we're on this journey and look how good we are and we're doing our best, you know, so don't knock us down. We're doing as best we can. But then you need to be providing the tangible evidence. So you can look at the brand authenticity scale, which gives you a measurement or a guide to the trend of how authentic your brand's communications are over time. And then you can start to identify if there are any areas for improvement. And again, do this collaboratively. You know, seek feedback and input from your stakeholders. Don't always just think, oh, we can do this internally. We'll just keep it a little bit quiet. Because actually, if there's any sort of not good news in there, well, you know, we don't really want that getting out into the public. But of course, we know in today's world, word gets out. Even the most closely guarded secrets are not going to be safe for all time. So there is a huge value in transparency. And I know and I appreciate that some information needs to be, because it is commercially sensitive, it needs to be well protected. But the vast majority of things that we're talking about, if we have confidence, if we're working to our higher values, if we're purpose driven, if we're really sensitive to our stakeholders and what they need and how they see us, then we can release these pieces of information. We can release these initiatives. We can be honest and true, probably way more than we believe we can. There is a big storytelling thing to go on, though, internally. And I know this. I see this play out in lots of different industries. But the trouble is, if you don't do it this way, then you can also fall foul of what we might call greenwashing. This is one of these sort of intrinsic things that we're seeing a lot now crop up in particularly social media and in the media more generally. And it's directly related to the whole woke and cancel culture conversation here. Greenwashing really is when a company is misleading or promoting their products or services or practices as environmentally friendly with little or no evidence to support the claims. Can you see a pattern here? This word washing, whether it's woke washing, cancelling or greenwashing, it's basically it's where you are being washed out because of the lack of evidence in the claims that you're making. It doesn't matter whether it's social, whether it's environmental, it's all of the same kind of activity and it's a mindset. So let's look at greenwashing then, because it is directly related to what we're talking about here. And there's another sensitivity here because understandably, your brand is going to want to be, because it needs to be, because we all need to be, more green, more eco-friendly, more socially confident and relevant. But if you're doing this collectively with little or no evidence, then you are going to really, really set yourself up for a fall. Now, organizations don't like to hear this. Organizations, particularly well-established organizations and businesses, if you talk to their management teams, they would only really like you to release information when it's 100% perfect. And you talk to your legal team or your technical team who sign off information, if that's the kind of sort of processes you have within marketing, and they will want it to be absolutely, you know, buttoned down before you release it. There is a big danger taking that approach that you are going to be challenged here with greenwashing, woke washing, etc. So the So the biggest tip I can really give you as an actionable step to sort of almost avoid and start to avoid and start to really consider greenwashing is that you educate your team on what is relevant here. So environmental certifications, carbon literacy, the standards within your particular sector to ensure that when you do make claims, they are verifiable. So you're actually playing every claim that you make back to something that comes from third parties that are reliable sources. And again, it's a similar kind of approach. We're looking at a very sort of, you know, typical thing that I'm talking about here that is very much, it's the same thing. It's just a different flavor of the same thing. And of course, within greenwashing, you know, we can undermine our consumer or customers' trust. We can, you know, devalue any genuinely sustainable efforts or sustainability efforts that we're trying. And of course, it can lead to public backlash or even legal consequences in a worst case. And of course, all these things can too. So much as we were doing this with, you know, trying to preempt any kind of cancelling that might be going on or any woke washing, what we're looking to do within greenwashing is to make sure that all claims are accurate and can be substantiated. Again, this impact can be high, but we can mitigate that impact by always preempting what might happen. And as with the other things that we've been talking about, we need to be building in a real kind of conscientious approach in our marketing communications. We need, as marketers, to be looking out for vague terms. We need to always make sure that we've got proof of everything we're trying to say or claim. If we make a statement, we need to be able to stand up and say, okay, here's the proof behind it. We need to avoid irrelevant claims, saying something that really actually is a bit of hot air, doesn't really mean anything. You know, a lot of old style, old school marketing. You'll see lots of examples of that, and advertising of old, you know, fell into that trap. We cannot afford to do that anymore. Misleading visuals that suggest that a product's more eco-friendly than it is, or social initiatives that are more impactful than they are. So just putting, you know, your product in on a green background, for example, to imply that it's just that little more green than the competition. Those little sensitivities we have to be completely awake to with everything that we put out there. Not so we can live fearfully that, oh, I can't even do things in color now, Neil, because Neil said, you know, we've got to keep everything monochrome and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if we can critically evaluate, and not just us, but all of the people, our agencies, our teams, everybody who's involved with our marketing communications, so they critically evaluate every claim that we make. And we need to demand transparency from right across the business and our supply chain if we're going to get this right, because this stuff can crop up as an issue anywhere in the supply or value chain that we're looking at. But if we adopt clear, transparent, and substantiated communication, everything double or triple checked, and we can just build good habits. It doesn't mean this is going to slow down our communication or that we're going to be, you know, spending so much time on process and actually not getting good content out there. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we just need to be mindful and conscientious in the way that we talk, the kinds of information that we're saying, always being awake as a marketer and not just thinking, oh, I can do it in this way again, just because we've always done it like that. We know the market and society is getting ever more sensitive to this stuff. And we could say probably because this is self-policing and self, you know, adjusting our branding, then actually probably if you look at it, it is a good thing. And if we treat it as a good thing, then there's stuff to be learned, stuff to be embraced here. So we shouldn't run away from this stuff. It is really important. And talking about running away, there's another term that you might be aware of, which kind of ties into all of these things. And this is the term green hushing. Okay, so not green washing, where you consciously make a claim that you can't back up, but green hushing, where you actually say nothing. So this occurs when companies choose not to disclose or they underreport their positive environmental actions, often because they're being fearful of criticism or accusations of greenwashing. So in other words, actually, if I don't say anything, that'll be okay. Well, actually, it's not. Because if you're doing stuff and you're not talking about it, that is almost as bad as not doing the stuff in the first place, according to your stakeholders. So this again comes back to really listening, really observing, and perceiving from your stakeholders' perspective how you're coming across. So doing and conducting a stakeholder analysis would be my recommended action step here. Understand the expectations your stakeholders have around your disclosure, environmental actions and projects and initiatives, as well as the social ones that we were talking about earlier, and begin sharing positive environmental actions more openly. So maybe you have a timeline. You can show people where your projects and your initiatives are on the timeline. Maybe you just do this as a, you know, regular report, quarterly, annually, whenever it is appropriate to you. But to not say stuff is, as I say, almost as bad as doing stuff and then just reporting a little bit. So, you know, one of the big tips here is that, you know, you can sort of, you know, look into a lot of big examples where greenhushing has, you know, been really, really sort of, you know, impactful in lots of different sectors. And I would suggest really evaluating your whole company's communication strategy to ensure that it reflects your environmental and social achievements accurately and transparently. You know, lack of sustainability reporting may also indicate greenhushing. This is the thing. You will be doing stuff. I know you'll be doing stuff in and around your organization. And now, even as a marketer, you can be challenged with greenhushing, even if you're not aware of what's going on in the business. So it's no longer an excuse to say, well, they didn't tell us. It's your responsibility as a marketer to lift up those stones and look underneath them and see what's going on, to ask around in your organization what kind of initiatives are happening here. And if they're not being driven by marketing, who owns them? So it's about becoming really conscious and aware of all those initiatives, because ultimately it's going to come back as a problem towards you, even though there's good stuff happening elsewhere in the business. But ultimately, we're talking communications here. So it will happen if you don't get this right or if you choose to ignore it. So embracing transparency in your environmental as well as your social and cultural efforts is really, really key. So engaging in honest dialogue with all stakeholders internally and externally about the challenges and successes and reporting progress regularly is really important. So how can you do that? This, because I keep talking about reporting stuff back. Well, I mean, a good thing would be maybe to have a dedicated section on your website. But all of your kind of efforts in sustainability, environmental stuff, carbon reduction, as well as all the social stuff we were talking about, include the challenges, include progress, include your goals. And this in itself will foster a new habit of transparency and, importantly, dialogue, because you'll get feedback. Rest assured, you will get feedback, but feedback is good because you can learn from it. And of course, because you're getting that feedback, your audience, your stakeholders feel part of it. They feel like this is collaboration. So the chances of getting cancelled, the chances of getting caught out are significantly reduced. So these are ways that you can align your brand with this ethos, if you like, and then you can stay very, very relevant as you go forward. Now, of course, a lot of this is going to play out in, well, let's call it sort of generically social media. So all of the different media that you rely on in terms of social channels for communication. And of course, you can then, once you've got your specific area of where you're going to document this and you're going to share this collaboratively, you can then discuss how social media is going to impact on amplifying all of these opportunities. So the social issues, these things that we're trying to get away from, woke washing, cancel culture, greenwashing and greenhushing. You know, you can start to discuss internally about where these things potentially could play out in social networking. And then, of course, to keep on top of all of this, once everybody is up to speed with, guys, we've got to preempt this before it happens, we've got to have some plans ready to put into place should the worst happen, not out of fear, but just out of diligence and good management here, that we can then implement a social media listening strategy to monitor and understand the sentiment from our publics out there about our brand and relevant social issues and how we're performing. So it just comes back to this concept of active listening. That's really what we're talking about here. And fundamental to getting over all of this is taking, as marketers, our heads out of the sand. I think, you know, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, I think we've got so distracted by the publishing of information, by being in social media and thinking that that is marketing, and really missing the essence of marketing, which is about listening first, listening before we publish, listening to the sentiment, listening to what our brand should be standing for in the eyes of our stakeholders, listening before we begin to develop products and services or responses to the audience's challenges and the solutions they're looking for. This is at the core of marketing. And that one of the reasons why marketing is finding this stuff so hard is because we have lost our way. We think of ourselves as the publishers of content, supporting sales, pushing materials out. Whereas actually, what should have happened first was we should have listened. So I think what we're going to see over the coming months and years are organizations, particularly those engaging with diverse audiences, who actually start to think about their customer personas, their stakeholder personas, and then start to establish best practices and guidelines for engaging with and respecting the diversity of our audiences in marketing campaigns. Developing ethical marketing guidelines for the whole team, in fact, the whole business, to ensure that all of our campaigns are rooted in ethical principles. So we are talking about our higher purpose. We're actually coming at this from the values that we share with our target audiences, and not assuming that just because we did a great social media post that went viral, that we're actually winning, forgetting those social algorithms for a minute and actually just thinking, hold on a minute. If we want to get into a really strong relationship with that group over there, we need to go and understand them first. We need to begin to talk their language, but we need to back up the actions that we're taking with the evidence that we're actually genuinely helping them by and as a direct result of listening to them. So it's not difficult, this, but so many of us have been so distracted by this kind of new definition of what marketers do that we've actually lost sight of it. And it is about deep understanding of the personas we're targeting, choreographing a journey for them, customer journey. Remember that thing? We pay lip service to it. This is where it actually becomes really true and important. So those are kind of some of the really key things. And I see, to kind of bring this one full circle, I see that the future of socially conscious branding is going to play out in this area. This is what socially conscious brands are going to be doing. You know, customers are likely to become savvier at spotting inauthentic social justice messaging, and companies will need to demonstrate genuine commitment to their causes. There's a really great quote to remember as we're going through building our marketing plans and our content strategies. Another quote from 2030 Builders was, "Marketing that simply highlights a social issue may not be enough. Customers might expect brands in the future to showcase concrete actions they're taking." I'd say they are right here, right now, and I'm seeing evidence of it. So gathering tangible evidence, third-party accredited evidence, not just what you say, but get somebody else to say it. We've known that for a while. It's called advocacy. So get the advocacy, get those testimonials, get those case studies and those reference sources, because that's what you're going to need to back yourself up here to be a socially conscious brand. Forbes said companies might need to track and report on the impact of their social initiatives to build trust. I would say 100%. Not might need to, but I think currently need to right here, right now. I think Forbes are being a little bit soft there, saying that in the future. I think it's here right now, because there's competitive advantage in doing this stuff. And if you're tracking it and you've already started tracking and reporting the impact of your social and your environmental and your sustainability initiatives, you will be building trust with your stakeholders. This is an absolute given. They're looking and waiting to hear from you. So your audience is ready. Vox said that there might be a shift towards a more measured response to mistakes or problematic views. Cancel culture might take into account the severity of the offence and the potential for growth. Now, that's an interesting one. It could be that, you know, even if you do get cancelled in the short term, your audience, because you're doing this, because you're a socially conscious brand, they might give you a second chance. And I would suggest they will give you a second chance if you're honest, open and transparent and doing all the stuff that we've been talking about. Second chances are there for those who are willing to take it. So open up, be transparent, report, watch the trends and just engage in collaborative marketing. Time magazine said cancel culture might evolve to include opportunities for redemption and education alongside consequences. So wouldn't that be interesting? Brands and businesses and individuals who have been cancelled have an opportunity to come back for redemption because they can then evidence the education and the way, not only that they've been punished, but the way that they've learned from the experience. So we're giving them a second chance because they're going to evidence the journey that then they are on. Well, that's other brands, because of course, you now know that you can preempt this by being on the journey already. So that's a key thing. But I would agree with Time magazine there. And the final quote I have for you is governments might introduce stricter regulations to define and prevent greenwashing. This could involve standardized labeling for sustainable products. So even if you don't create a product, you're in a service-based business, I would say you are going to see in the coming months, it's not years, it's the coming months, you're going to see new regulation, new legislation coming in that is going to help to define and prevent some of these things that we're talking about here. But here's a question for you. It's a rhetorical question, but do think about this. Does this give your brand, your business, an opportunity to help shape those regulations and that legislation by talking to your sector or your industry body or association to help co-create some of the regulations that could be coming through? Because if you're on this journey, you've already thought about it, you've already woken up as a marketer and as a business, you're in a prime seat here to drive this going forward. So not only do I see this as kind of removing the fear of getting it wrong, I think this is really the future of marketing. Socially conscious branding that is sustainable, that has got a great environmental footprint, but is on a constant and consistent journey to better itself every single day. And remember, but the key thing here, over and above everything that you're going to actually deliver, is to start with listening, really active listening. And if there's one thing I'd like you to take away from this session here today, it is that you need to be awake as a marketer every single moment of every single day.